Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Shared Parental Leave podcast. And it is day one of Shared Parental Leave. So I left work yesterday and I am now here on the first day of looking after the little one. So as I mentioned in the first episode, if you did listen to it, we are going straight away on holiday. So we have one day to pack everything that we're going to need. 18 days on holiday in Japan, me, my wife and the little one. So today is a bit of a rush day, and the last week has been really difficult because the little one has decided that she only wants to sleep at 30 minutes at a time or an hour, and then also she just likes to get up and have a 2-hour party in the middle of the night. And so it's pretty similar to that last night. So we're a bit worried about how everything's going to go in terms of sleeping on the plane and the 12-hour difference then we get to Japan. But most importantly, we're looking forward to it. So this episode is going to be about travelling. So we've travelled once abroad to Spain with a little one when she was smaller. And she's still being 100% breastfed. And it seems that with them eating comes extra complexity. If I can get my words out, I am tired. So we've got a lot of stuff that we've packed. And we're going to Japan, so we're not entirely sure about the food because obviously little one can't eat raw sushi. She won't be able to have katsu curry. Oh, getting your toys out. And lots of the noodles will have lots and lots of soy sauce in them. So we've packed quite a lot of food packets. But we're looking forward to it. So let's get started with the second episode. So, travelling is a big thing that I've done in the past with my wife, and obviously with a kid it's going to be a little bit more different, but we don't want it to be something that stops our adventurous side. So, as we mentioned, we went on a big family holiday to Spain earlier in the year. Oh, she's going to grab the microphone. Okay, put you down. But we decided that because we have this shared parental leave and there's going to be a handover period of a month, it's not often that you're going to get a month together off work. So we thought we'd go on a long haul holiday. I think I mentioned in the first episode as well, your child is still under 2. You're only paying kind of tax on the airfare, so you're not having to pay for a whole seat. And obviously she can still sleep in a bed with us, so hotel rooms are still the same prices as it was before. So as mentioned, we're going to Japan, so it's long haul. Weather's kind of similar to what it is here at this moment in the UK, so a little bit of rain, but kind of early spring. Oh, she's got stuck. Jump. But weather will be quite nice overall, so between like 5 to 15 degrees. And getting around Japan should hopefully be quite easy because we're going on the trains. So we're going to 3 cities. We're going to Tokyo, we're going to Osaka, and then we're going down to Hiroshima, however you want to say it. And in Japan they have luggage forwarding, so our suitcases will be forwarded and the pram will be forwarded as luggage. So we can just have our day packs, which will be very convenient. So why Japan? I think never been there before, interested in the food, the culture, and obviously we know it's quite a clean city, and therefore it should be okay for a little baby. The one question is about food, about how we're kind of eating restaurants with her. If you're going to those tiny little noodle or sushi places, you know, she's going to be wanting to be grabbing the food off the sushi train, or if we go to one of those teppanyaki places where they cook the food in front of you, you've kind of got a hot stove, so we might need to avoid one of those two places or hold on to it all the time. But I think it's going to be exciting, and I think the thing we've got to get through to our heads is that, you know, there are babies in Japan, so, you know, obviously there's going to be stuff for us. You know, we're going to be able to get nappies, we're going to be able to get other kind of food, etc. there. Oh, she's just pulled a book off the shelf and it's hit her in the head. Oh no, that's terrible. Here comes the cry. Oh dear. Distraction. Look at this. Oh, are you happy now? I love it when kids do that thing where they go all quiet and they basically muster up some energy to make a good cry. And now she's on the floor rolling around happy as Larry. So, yeah, other things to kind of prepare is travel insurance is slightly different and packing. So, packing is quite interesting. So we're actually going to go to Japan with a small pram. It's our day-to-day pram here. And because it's a small one, that we, oh, she's going to do exactly the same. You've obviously not learnt. If you pull a book off there, it's going to hit you in the head. So we've got our small pram, which means it can fold up and you can hold it over your shoulder. So thinking about on the subway. And then we'll take a sling. So basically most of the day she'll be in the sling and then maybe on the pram every so often when we're walking around. Packing wise, we're packing quite a lot of food packages, maybe only like 10, so maybe just enough to get us through the first few days. We're taking a big pack of nappies, so a big 90 pack of nappies. Obviously you can buy nappies in Japan, but the idea is then that will give us some room in our suitcase so we can pack it full of food and sweets and goods and toys and presents that we're going to buy in Japan, and so that can use up the space that the nappies are making up at this moment in time. We're going for 18 days, so it is actually quite hard to pack 18 days worth of clothes for both two adults and a baby. So we've basically got 10 days worth of clothes, and then in the middle of it, we'll do a washing in kind of a halfway point to make sure we've got enough stuff. But essentially, we've got enough clothes to last 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, you've pulled that book down. Do you want to go play with it now? No, she just wants to pull more books down. And flights, we're lucky. We're flying with Japan Airlines, and then we're flying with BA, so it's a direct flight. But it's going to be 12 hours, and the flight is at 9:30 in the morning. So therefore, we're going to have to get up here at 5:30 in the morning, get over to the airport, to Heathrow, and then fly. And so that's going to be the interesting part of you, is she going to sleep on the plane? Is she not going to sleep? Obviously, at the moment, she doesn't sleep in general, so it's going to probably make no difference. And it's just going to, how are we going to cope with the jet lag when we get there? But yeah, I think my number one tip would be for packing is pack everything that you think you're going to need. Don't pack stuff that you think you might not need, because it's just extra stuff to carry around. And I'm sure, especially at a place like Japan, if we've forgotten anything or we need anything, we'll be able to get it. So packing should be completed this afternoon, so that when we get up at 5:30 tomorrow morning for the taxi, we'll be all ready to go. That last recording you just heard was actually almost 3 weeks ago. And we've been on holiday and we're now back in London. And my thoughts at the time was that, I'll be all right. I'll be able to record some stuff while I'm abroad in Japan on holiday. And add to the podcast and talk about how it is, you know, going on holiday with a baby. Yeah, turns out it was a lot harder than I thought. And really didn't have any time to grab the microphone and record my thoughts and talk about the what had been going on. So we're back in London, arrived back 4 days ago, and have very different views about travelling with a baby now compared to beforehand. Interesting learning. I think some of those are specific to Japan, and then I think some of the ideas are more general. So I think I left it off saying packing, making sure that you've got everything. Quite ironically, we had everything we needed. The only thing that we actually forgot was I didn't pack any pants. So I had to go and buy 12 pairs of pants in Japan, spend £30 on that. But apart from that, we managed to remember everything. The flight was interesting. Shout out to Japan Airlines. Very good on the old baby side of things. Maybe a little bit laxed on safety. They didn't want us to wear, or they didn't give us a baby seatbelt. So if you've ever been on a plane, you have to put an extra lap belt around your baby, which connects to your belt. Pretty standard on the flights that I've been on before and I've seen before. But not on Japan Airlines. They were fine. They were fine to have our baby in, just being held. Or I think actually she was in the the baby carrier, baby Bjorn carrier, at the time of takeoff. You know, and they also let her roll around on the floor, crawl around the back, walk around the galleys, grab onto the curtains and stuff like that. And the stewardesses were playing with the baby, and very relaxed. Bit different to BA on the way back. BA were like, you can't have your baby on the floor, you can't do this, you can't do that, it has to wear the belt. So it's interesting. The flight wasn't too bad. The only thing is that the little one only slept, I think, an hour and a half in total, so 3 half-an-hour naps or something like that. And obviously it was a 12-hour flight, so not ideal. And I think we got there, she then had a sleep in the airport, and then we got on a bus. And then I think the realisation of how hard this was going to be was when she was on the bus, she had a massive feed, and we were on this little bus, jet-lagged, not slept. It was kind of about 8 o'clock in the morning local time. We're on this bus going to our hotel, and she just threw up everywhere, all over her onesie, kind of, you know, a ski suit, or what you want to call it, the only one that we brought, all over my wife's scarf, all over my jeans, all over my top. And it's just like, oh, we've not even got there and already we're gonna have to do some washing. She smells a sick. She wasn't particularly happy, and at that point her face was all red and eyes were all pink and stuff. And then got to the hotel. Oh, she just fell over. You okay? And got to the hotel, trying to say, I need to change her. They said, oh, there's no change facilities. So I changed her right there in the middle of the foyer. Turned out there was change facilities. They just didn't understand me. Couldn't check into our room until 2 o'clock. Which is another thing about Japan. Even if your room is ready, they're pretty strict. They say, like, you can't check in until a certain time. And so then I think we went out, but we had a really nice first meal of dumplings and noodles. And then we were happy. And then, yeah, the holiday started from there. So that's, oh, dear. And I think somebody's still getting tired, so we're going to have a nap. And then we'll continue. Yeah? Oh, no. Right, nap time. Right, we've had our nap, so we're a little bit happier now. Still going to make some noise, but shouldn't be too bad. So, as I mentioned, I found out that travelling with a kid was a lot different than I kind of expected it to be. So I thought I'd distill that into 5 points and just explain those in a little bit more detail. So the first thing was really apparent was pace. So when you've got a little kid, or maybe you've got 2 or 3, a 3-year-old, the pace that you used to holiday at might be slightly different. So it depends on what you normally do on your holidays. Some people like to just sit at a beach or at a pool 5 days in a row, go to the same restaurant every single night, and just basically zonk out, sit there on the phone, not really do anything, have a few drinks every single night, and that's it. Same kind of thing over and over again. Whereas, oh, it's okay. Yeah, we don't like to do that, do we? No, because traditionally I've been, and I think I mentioned in the last podcast, is that I'd always want to be doing stuff. So going around different museums, going to see all the different tourist website and tourist sites, going to look at and eat loads of different things, go to markets. And obviously, when you've got a little kid, you probably can't fit that all in. So what we're finding is that the day is actually a lot shorter. So you end up having to do these naps, 2 naps during the day. Oh, it's okay. Come on, let's pick you up. Let's go look out the window. And you'd end up having these naps. But then also you need to go to bed at a reasonable time getting back to a hotel. So you end up getting back to your hotel at, you know, 5 or 6 after your evening meal. So, and normally when you're abroad, that's the time you kind of go back to your hotel to rest, and you go out for your evening meal later at like 7 or 8. So we were like trying to fit in the same amount of things we'd normally want to do in a shorter period of time during the day, just due to having a child. So I think after 2 or 3 days, we kind of realised that we were only ever going to see 2 or 3 things a day, And, you know, they'd have to, one of those would have to be child friendly, like a museum where she'd be able to crawl around. So that's my first thing, is that you need to think about your pace. And it's the same that if you're maybe a parent that just goes on holiday and just sits in the same location, you know, maybe your child's not going to want to do that 5 days in a row. So you might need to change your pace up to, like, say, well, today we're going to do something slightly different. So, yeah, you need to adjust. Second one, and this is important for Japan, I think, finding food. So we realised that, you know, the little one at the moment is 8 months old, so 9 months, and she's eating, you know, solid food, but obviously you can't just go and give her burgers, or you couldn't go and give her, don't grab that, you can't go and give her, you know, the noodles that we'd be eating, because the sauces will be so salty and stuff, and you wouldn't know what's in everything all the time. And obviously, you know, Japan, home of sushi, she can't really have any raw fish, etc., at this moment in time. So what was quite apparent is that we found it quite hard we found it quite hard to find food that and restaurants that she'd be able to eat in, specifically for Japan. A lot of restaurants don't have baby seats, or they have baby seats where there's no like, it's a baby chair, a small chair, but there's no straps, so you'd have to kind of put her in there and then either hold her, or in the end I just ended up taking my belt off and then strapping her to the chair, so she didn't fall off. But even then, what we realised is that there were supermarkets there, but it was hard to get fresh fruit and vegetables. And then a point that I'll go on to next is that because we were staying in a hotel, we didn't really have anywhere to cook the food. Obviously, we thought about this beforehand, and we brought loads of pre-made packets of food and snacks and stuff like that. But in the first few days, the little one decided that she didn't like any of the packet food or any of the snacks, and she'd only eat rice. So she ended up just eating rice and dumplings for the first few days, and bananas, and strawberries. But that kind of leads on to this next point, is about the hotels. So basically, we decided to stay in hotels. So we stayed in three traditional Western hotels, and then we stayed in essentially a Ryokan, however they pronounce it, which is like one of those kind of Japanese style B&Bs where you all sleep on the floor, they put your bed out in the evening, and then throughout the day they change the room, so they put out chairs to have afternoon Japanese tea. And so we didn't have any cooking facilities, so even if we would have gone to the supermarket, picked up some fresh ingredients to make a meal or something like that, we didn't have anywhere to cook it. So we ended up microwaving stuff, or just she was eating bits of rice here and there. Do not touch that, that is an iron. Right. Fourth one, finding kind of local children's centres or local children things to do. So in a few cities in Tokyo, there's a children's toy museum and play centre. In Kyoto, there was a children's museum, and there's also the train museum. And these are really key to have at least some hours in the day where she could be sat on the floor playing in ball pools, playing with kids, other kids, interacting with other kids. Because otherwise, if you go into these, you know, especially in Japan, if you go into all these temples and around the different shops, she ends up just being in the pram or being in the sling all day. So that's my other suggestion, is to scout out beforehand on Google different locations for children's activities. What's this? Oh, wow, look at that. A spinning piece of wood, and she's captivated. So yeah, we've managed to find those out googling, and also what I found is there's loads of these blogs that are written by, you know, traveling families, and they all list these places which are not on the kind of the top tourist locations. They're not kind of on a TripAdvisor as the top things to do, but it's kind of like the children's centers. So that's the fourth one. And then, oh, what's that? Oh, really? And then the other one that I think about is packing. So we packed far too much stuff. We ended up having to, don't touch that. We ended up having to wash our clothes twice because they'd got so dirty with food that, you know, we didn't really want to keep those items of dirty clothes in a backpack or in our suitcases for 2 or 3 weeks. So we ended up washing them because we didn't want them to be ruined. And then that meant that we just kind of reused those clothes. So packing is, I think, an art form. I think you'll only know yourself whether you're going to end up going through 3 items of clothes in a day, or if you, you know, and therefore you need to pack clothes, or if you can just get away with the kind of the bare minimums and then just kind of, do a wash, which obviously depends on how long you're going for. But yeah, those are the kind of the 5 main things about pace, food, Airbnb, packing, and finding local things for kids to do. So it obviously made us reassess. We were thinking, oh, we're going to go on loads of holidays, you know, because when the kids are under 2, you know, they don't need to, they don't need to pay for a full plane ticket. They need to pay for tax, and, you know, it'll be cheaper. And then once after they're 2, then we're paying for a whole nother seat on an aeroplane, and we need bigger rooms, etc. But I think quite quickly we've got to reconsider is maybe the long-haul holidays to kind of more exotic destinations are going to be a little bit harder. One thing we were thinking is that obviously once the little one is older than, older than a year, or, you know, more like 16 months, she'll be able to eat a whole plethora of food. So, you know, it won't be a problem if we find some noodles which are a little bit salty, or if we have to go and have, you know, eat at a pizza restaurant, etc. So that's the other thing we were thinking about as well. So I think it's time for another nap. So we'll get you down to sleep, and then we'll continue the podcast, and we'll talk about the start of shared parental leave. So I've kind of had this week, not entirely on my own, but it's been pretty much myself looking after the little one with the help from mummy. But we'll move on to that next once we've got this one to sleep, which is a whole other podcast on its own, sleeping. And we'll finish this second episode with high and low of the week. But rather than of the week, we'll do high and low of the holiday. So I think the low was very much those first 48 hours in Japan when the baby was terribly jet-lagged, red puffy eyes, not sleeping very well, and myself and my wife both thought we were terrible parents for deciding to take her on such a journey. So that was definitely the low. And I think the high was, though, when we went to some of the baby playgrounds and the baby centres, and she was there playing, interacting with all the other local kids, having a great time with the Japanese toys, all the wooden toys. That was great to see. So that was the high of the holiday. Okay, that's everything for the second episode. Only taking me 3 weeks to kind of complete recording this episode, so that tells you how hard I've sounded so far to fit this in with looking after the kid. Hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, write a review, and we'll have the third episode, on its way soon, which will all be about the handover period and getting started and shared parental leave for real. So see you then.